let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I am Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle.
Greetings again.
It's great to have you here. We're going to talk today. Well, a realization that I've had through all of these things is that the Scriptures are just loaded with this idea of covenant. How God makes covenants with people all along the way, like in Eden and with Noah.
Perfect.
So today we begin talking about the Abrahamic covenant.
That's right.
And it's pretty cool the way that, again, I suggest that people go to ancienthopes.org and take a look at the post that's called The Abrahamic Covenant, its overall structure, because that's what we're going to talk about
today. Especially this time, because the structure is too complex for us to unfold here over the radio here. So, I like to think that covenant is the backbone of Scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. It's what holds all of Scripture up together. And even though the word covenant, berit in the Hebrew, is not used in the creation stories, there is the structure, okay, which is blessing, cursing with regard to obedience, blessing if you obey, cursing if you don't. The whole idea of motifs that are connected specifically with a covenant as a sign.
Yeah.
A sign of the covenant, which would be the tree and the garden motif, right? And so that's what we have at the beginning with Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And then in chapter 9, we see that God makes a covenant with another first man. That's a motif, right?
Right.
A major one in the Scripture. Yep. Yeah, first Adam, now Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And the imagery there of the motif would be the ark, right? Which is very, very closely associated, as we talked about, with Temple mm-hmm. Mountain. It's settled on Mount Ararat, right? So temples and mountains always go together, right?
And then the rainbow.
Yeah. That's the other motif. And there we really see that there are certain commandments that are associated with this. And it all has to do with blood.
Okay.
Right? How we eat our meat.
Right.
And then how we are to respond as a culture when there's murder and a shedding of blood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So these covenants were made basically with humanity at large through individuals like Adam and Noah. What makes the coming one that we're talking about right now with Abraham is that the world is well established. There are all sorts of cultures out there. We talked about that, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Even big cities and
And everything.
Civilization.
They're all pagan cultures all the way around and everywhere. And so God is making this covenant with an individual again. So in a way, Abraham could be seen as a first man, but he's a first man in the midst of a sprawling, teeming world.
Mm-hmm. Things have come a long way.
Right.
Since Noah and his children. Yeah.
Right. So God calls his father, Terach, from Ur of the Chaldees, which is the cultural center of the day. And for some reason, he failed to make it all the way there. He stopped at his hometown in Haran and maybe said, you know, I'm too old to go on.
Right. Yeah. We talked about this last time. We don't really know why he stopped in, didn't make it to Canaan, but stopped in Haran.
Right. And Abraham picks up on this, okay, somehow. Let me backtrack here. Okay, so let me talk a little bit more about the idea of covenant and how important it is in Abraham's situation.
Good, because I was going to ask you about covenant, because you have in here that it has to do with a kinship.
Right.
And then a promise?
Well, yeah, it's very simple, okay? I get this from Scott Hahn, and, you know, Kinship and Covenant. It's a great book, but it's his dissertation. It's very, very heavy reading.
Right. Okay. Oh my gosh. But
we will be using that a lot from here on out in the Old Testament. Okay. So it's, but a covenant is a very simple idea. A kinship bond established by an oath. That's what it is.
Oh.
You can remember that.
Sure.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
A kinship bond established by an oath.
An oath. Okay.
Yeah, right. So it all gets down to relationship and who you can trust. In his world, Abraham's world, with all these tribes and peoples all over the place, who can you trust, right? And so you can trust your family.
Right, sure. Yeah, your close family.
Yeah, family. Yeah, your blood family. And then you have a clan of interconnected. It's almost like the Gallagher clan,
sure,
right?
Sure. Irish, Scottish. Yeah. And I, of course, watching movies, you can see a lot about that, you know, where they make a fealty, you know, they make an oath to the clan leader.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But by definition, a clan is already connected because they're all intermarrying. They can trust each other when they trade and do whatever. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have fights and bad things happen. But in general, if you're in a clan, you have an identity, right?
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Right. And then after that, you have the tribe, which is made up of a whole bunch of clans, and that gets wider. But still, there's a certain trust there because the tribe has a tribal identity. You can trust everybody within it, and everybody considers themselves as kin.
Sure. And when there's a battle, if there was a war or something, then that whole tribe would bond together. Yeah, and fight.
That's it. Yeah, right. Now, the problem comes, Danny, is this. How do you relate with other tribes?
Mm.
That's the question.
Okay.
And there's only really two ways of looking at this. Either they become kin by a ceremony, a covenant ceremony,
okay,
or if they're enemies.
Yep.
Okay.
There's nothing in between.
There's nothing in between, right? And so covenants were made in the ancient Near East, and there are different kinds of covenants. They're called suzerain treaties. Suzerain's a kind of like complex word, okay, but it has to do with heads of tribes or kings, right?
Okay.
And they will make a treaty, and when they make this treaty, actually, the word there is cutting a covenant. And we'll talk when we get to chapter 15 what actually that means. It's quite literal, cutting a covenant, right?
Okay.
But you cut a covenant, and there's blood that's involved in this whole thing, and sprinkle on everybody, you know, that sort of thing. We'll see that coming up in the Mosaic covenant as well.
Okay.
And a covenant is made, and after the covenant's made, the two tribes become kin.
Sure, they're bound together.
And they're bound together by an oath. And we'll talk more about that later when we get to chapter 15. So that's what a covenant is. It's a kinship bond established by an oath. Now, here's the kicker. What is absolutely and totally and completely unique here with Abraham is that God makes a covenant with Abraham.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Now, here's the kicker. What is absolutely and totally and completely unique here with Abraham is that God makes a covenant with Abraham. Now, this is unheard of in the ancient Near East because all our neighbors are pagans.
Right. How can a God do that?
What's that?
They're not interested usually.
That's right. Yeah. They're totally disinterested in you, unless they want something from you, you know. But the gods, they don't care. They're as capricious as the weather, and they are weather gods and what have you, right? So how do you relate with the gods as a pagan, right? It's through magic. Mm-hmm. It's through those magical ceremonies to try to get the attention of the gods, to motivate them to do what you want them to do.
Yeah, what I want. Yeah.
Right, right. And it usually takes a witch doctor, that sort of thing.
Big ceremony. Yeah.
And who wants to be involved in that ceremony, right? But here, God, the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, makes a covenant with Abraham, which means God becomes kin. And there's a trust relationship.
Right, and it's really crazy because God speaks to Abraham.
Right.
Which is really amazing. When I read that in the scripture again, when I was preparing for this,
right,
I thought, wow, right. God right. speaks, yeah.
And the covenant can only happen if there's an encounter.
Right.
And wherever there's a counter, there's promise. Danny, this sets the stage for everything. I can't tell you how, even right now, I feel so moved because this is what happened to me. I mean, we'll talk about encounters, real soon, but when God encounters you, God becomes real.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he always makes promises, because we need deliverance.
Yes.
And promises right. have got to do with getting us out of the misery that we humans experience.
Right, what we get ourselves into.
Right, and his promises, he also activates faith.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's believing in something.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So, but that's a little preview to next week or whenever we're going to talk about that in the next few podcasts. But what is interesting here is this. Almighty God becomes kin with us. Of course, right now, Danny, knowing the scriptures as you do, you can see how this runs all the way through the Bible.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the beginning of just this ongoing continuation of
right.
relationship.
And you see how Jesus fulfills it, and we become kin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Heirs. Yeah. Sons and daughters.
Starts.
Yeah.
Here with Abraham.
Wow.
Okay. So the challenge for us, though, here is this. This covenant is very complex. It wasn't so complex with Noah. I mean, there's some interesting ideas that we had to work through, right? And the covenant was very rudimentary in the garden, but now it becomes very complex. Matter of fact, it's not just one chapter that we have the covenant.
Yeah.
It's a series of four chapters that spread out throughout what's called the Abraham cycle of stories.
Okay.
And in my post, you'll see that there's a really, really intricate structure here, which we can't, as I said at the beginning, we can't really go through. But let's just talk about the four chapters that we'll be unraveling in the next podcast. Okay, first of all, it's the calling into covenant with Abraham in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to see next week that this is really the Great Commission of the Old Testament.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so linked to everything. And then, now there's two major promises, which are motifs in the Abraham cycle, and that is land and seed. When you think about land and God's promising land, what do you think of now, Danny, since we've been through this whole thing so far? Land, where does it take you?
Well, I think of motifs.
The motif of land takes you back to the garden. Right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. And so what this is doing is inviting Abraham into lost origins.
Okay.
He would understand the land theologically, not just as a piece of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next one is seed. And of course, when you think of the seed motif, what do you think of?
Children. Family.
Family, mm-hmm. But it also takes you back into that's called the proto-evangelium. Remember that one?
No.
Danny.
Sorry about that.
No, this is great. No. Yeah, these big words, and you know, like this is kind of
I can only hold so many of these big words in my head.
Okay, that's Genesis 3.
Okay,
where God promises that Eve's seed's going to crush the head of the serpent.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yep. We see this in what was called, another one of your favorite words, antediluvians,
yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah.
Where the seed of Cain, you know, just goes downhill, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And of course, the seed of the serpent's involved in that, right? Yeah. But in Zethline, in antediluvians, it's continued, okay, and restored in Noah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Right. And then, of course, Noah has family, has seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
post-diluvian.
Yeah, I see. Okay, you just recovered yourself really well. Okay. which takes us to Shem. Abraham's in his line. Okay,
yeah.
Right. And so salvation is going to come through that seed motif. Okay, so land and seed are the two major motifs of the Abrahamic covenant.
Yeah.
So chapters 12 and 15, they both have to do with land and seed, but the emphasis on the first two chapters that we're going to be talking about, 12 and 15, is on land, whereas chapters 17 and 22 tends to focus on seed.
Okay.
Okay? Those two promises. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, with chapter 17, we have the sign of the covenant. Remember, every covenant's got a sign, right? And the sign of the covenant is circumcision.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. When we get to that. So, I'm giving this podcast, or we're doing this podcast just to give you an overview of the covenant and its structure. We can't go into the detail, but if you want to, you know, I encourage anybody who wants to read the post.
Sure, because right. it does talk about how the structure fits together with
right
the end of 11 through 15, the first
right.
part,
right,
and then the second part is up to Genesis 22.
Exactly. See, so, okay, yeah. You're really redeeming yourself
yeah.
now. Okay. And how there are parallels.
Yes. That's it. Kind of like
the
what's that chiastic?
Well, this is not chiastic,
right.
But a chiasm is a structure, but this is kind of like a step-like
yes.
structure.
Okay.
Right?
So I was going to say that. It's
that
not
parallel,
quite
yeah.
chiasm, but there is a parallel nature to it between the two.
Right.
You called them panels, the two parts.
Panels.
Structures.
Yeah. So what this does, it helps us understand how the poetic form, the literary forms, it's complex and wonderful as they are, help us with the meaning.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, Moses didn't just take a quill, okay, and just started, right? No, this is all very artfully put together. There's nothing primitive about this at all. It's
right.
just very sophisticated literary work.
Mm-hmm.
And this parallels the very literary, very intricate and complex theological of the whole thing.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how much we could say more than this because, next podcast, we'll start talking about chapter 12.
Good. So this is a good overview of the idea of the Abrahamic covenant.
Right.
And kind of a foreshadowing of where we're going to go
yeah,
in the next few podcasts.
Exactly. That's it. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all what we came to accomplish today. I hope we did it.
Good. I think we did. Good.
Okay.
Well, thanks a bunch for coming in.
Okay. God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.